Welcome to Rooted in Wellness with me, wellness advocate and holistic nutritionist, Mona Sharma. Together, we will take a journey to discover natural healing practices from imbalance to balance, guided by ancient wisdom and modern scientific insights. I was raised living summers on an ashram, so I learned early on that food is medicine and your kitchen is your greatest source of healthcare and prevention. After facing two heart surgeries, anxiety, and weight challenges, I discovered that just because your symptoms are common doesn't mean that they are normal. Together with some incredible guests, we will explore the power of our mind, body, and soul connection, returning to our roots to rediscover our greatest well-being. Today's conversation invites us to a softer, more grounded way of understanding inflammation and healing, one that honors the body's wisdom rather than trying to override it. I'm joined by Dr. Shivani Gupta, and together we explore why so many people who eat well, exercise consistently, and do all the right things still feel inflamed, depleted, hormonally imbalanced, or disconnected from themselves. We talk about inflammation as communication, not failure, and why healing begins when we slow down enough to listen. We move through Ayurveda's view of digestion, stress, rhythm, and constitution, and how modern life quietly pulls us out of balance long before symptoms become loud. Dr. Shivani shares how simple rituals, food preparation, and understanding your own unique makeup can create profound shifts without pushing the body into more depletion. This episode is really a reminder that healing is not meant to feel harsh or overwhelming. When we reconnect with nature, restore rhythm, and work with the body's intelligence, healing becomes gentler, more intuitive, and far more sustainable. Dr. Shivani Gupta, PhD, is an Ayurvedic medicine expert, author, and founder of Fusionary Formulas. Her work bridges ancient Ayurvedic wisdom with modern science, helping people reduce inflammation, support digestion, and return to a more rooted, resilient relationship with their health. Dr. Shivani Gupta, welcome to Rooted in Wellness.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I cannot think of a better way to end my day than having a cup of tea, speaking to the power of Ayurveda.
Yes.
And I said to you on the way in, it's literally practitioners like you who are the inspiration for this podcast.
Thank you.
To bring the wisdom of such incredible ancient knowledge, but with a modern lens and approach. And I know this is exactly your mission work. And
absolutely.
We'll get into all of those details. But before we get going, you should know that this podcast is all about ancient wisdom in our modern day world and how all of our listeners can become more rooted in their health and in their happiness and their life. But what I believe is their inner wisdom to know that they can heal.
Absolutely.
So I'd love to know, just to start off, what are two or three rituals that you have in your life that help you feel rooted in who you are?
For sure. So Ayurveda has taught me so much about ritual and how we can build rituals that are so beautiful and so joyful and so supportive of ourselves. So one is I move in nature every single day. To me, I don't even feel well if I have not been out in nature and moved. That's a pillar of mine. Mm-hmm. So I usually walk for an hour in the morning, hour in the evening. All that time that I'm typically catching up with family and friends, I just do it while walking because that's how I can breathe and really ground myself in nature. Another big ritual to me and my favorite on earth that I teach about is tea time is me time, where I pause a couple times a day and I really just tune into that cup of tea. It's a beautiful warm beverage. I take it as a moment of relaxation, an anchor point, a mindful moment for myself. And it really allows me to tune inwards and ask myself, how are you doing today? What do we need to change about today for it to be better? How can I support myself? And my intuition is very well trained now to give me answers like, you are not going to be eating today the way you're going, or you haven't taken your supplements, you haven't hydrated. So it's really a self-awareness moment around self-care that's really helpful. So those are two of my top choices.
They're good ones. It's kind of a running joke with a lot of my clients. They'll take a picture of their tea cabinet and it'll say, you know, you're working with Mona Sharma when?
Yeah.
But more than the tea, I mean, we'll talk about the medicinal aspect of it. It's what you said, it's the stopping.
Yeah.
And I think that we live in a culture where the stress, the worry, and the anxiety comes from this hypervigilance that we've all gotten used to living with.
Yeah.
So with that said, do you notice when you drift, when you become uprooted, are there certain practices that you can kind of anticipate that will uproot you in your life?
For sure. Travel uproots me significantly.
Yes.
My business day sometimes can be so uprooting because I'll get to my office and my team wants 500 things from me. And I already had my own agenda.
Right.
And all of a sudden I'm like, wow, I'm always behind. And so as soon as that happens, I say, you know what? All business meetings need to happen walking. And we get out in nature and we take our meetings walking.
Beautiful.
So that while people are telling me the 500 things they want from me, I'm still moving in nature.
Mm.
And I can accept that, you know what, I've built a business. It is my joy and it is my passion and life purpose. So it's okay that it's going faster all the time than how I would like to live. But at least I can ebb and flow with it and find my own balance with it.
What a beautiful lens for listeners. So if you recognize a practice or a daily habit that you have that is going to be uprooting you, figure out something else that you can stack into it
right.
with your team, with your family, with your loved ones to help it ground.
Exactly.
What a concept.
Yeah.
All right. We have a lot to talk about today, but we're going to start off with some rapid fire questions.
Sure.
All right. What's one early sign that your body gives you when inflammation is out of balance?
Ooh, for me and for many, it's joint pain. A lot of people, their joints ache. They wake up and they're stiff. That first foot they put down on the earth all of a sudden hurts and they can't get up as fast. They have to take a couple minutes to ease into their walking in the day, even just going to the bathroom. That's a sign that you have inflammation going on.
I love it. Okay, what's one thing that most people misunderstand about turmeric or Ayurvedic medicine?
Oh my gosh, so many people think they can sprinkle regular kitchen turmeric on their food and they are going to get these incredible health benefits and reductions of inflammation, or that they can buy orange juice with some turmeric in it and these things. So there's a whole game being played around dropping turmeric into all your food, but that doesn't mean that it's going to give you those significant health benefits.
It's my dreaded text. It's not working. It's not working. All right. If you could teach everyone one daily anti-inflammatory habit, what would it be?
Oh, move in nature easily. Ayurveda teaches that nature heals everything. So the moment you put yourself in nature, the system is going to be cooled. The system will be aligned. You will be grounded again. And thus all healing can happen.
Where have you been all my life? One Ayurvedic principle that you live by every day. Nature's a good one.
Ooh, I live by the principle that my body knows best.
Mm-hmm.
I am sovereign. And I know what's best for my health. It doesn't matter what Instagram says. It doesn't matter what any doctor says to me. And it doesn't matter what health plan I even think I should be on. It's my intuition that should be guiding my behavior every day to build my health at the level that I want to have it.
I want to double click on that because I am sovereign is probably the greatest lesson from my healing journey in understanding that there might be something on Instagram or social media that is trending so highly that it must work for everyone, but having the courage to say, maybe not for me.
Yeah.
Right? All right. What's a modern wellness trend, speaking of trends, that Ayurveda would completely disagree with?
Cold plunging for everybody.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I see it happening. All my friends are buying cold plunges.
Yeah.
I'm watching the trend. And people are like, you haven't cold plunged yet? I'm like, I know my body. And my body screams, heck to the no, you are not doing that to yourself.
Yeah.
There's no way. So I think that awareness of our own constitutions is very important.
Mm-hmm. What's one emotion or stress pattern that you see most often fueling inflammation in the body?
I think so often we are so dysregulated. We are running on the hamster wheel of life at 200 miles an hour. We have such an inundating schedule. And then on top of it, we're allowing the news cycles and social media to just drive so much stress into the system. And we aren't creating enough mindful breaks. And we're not creating enough space really for the system to be at peace. So to me, we're stressed all the time at a level way beyond what the body can tolerate. And we're not allowing body, mind, and spirit to ever be aligned. And then we're wondering why we're not achieving anything we want to. We don't feel the way we want to. It's all a cycle.
I've got this strange concept with my clients. It's a feeling of becoming decapitated.
Yeah.
We're operating, being completely, our mind, our head is completely decapitated from the wisdom of our bodies, right? What is one Ayurvedic food or ritual that you swear by for your inflammation?
Oh, I studied turmeric very heavily. So to me, turmeric is that number one solution that works for everything.
I can't wait to dive in.
So turmeric to me is my favorite above all.
If you could give our listeners just one simple way to feel more balanced today, what would it be?
Oh, tea time is me time. Tea time is me time is a beautiful, simple ritual. It's portable. You could be anywhere in the world and you can ask any coffee shop for a cup of hot water. You can carry tea bags with you at all times. So you can reach into the magic of the plant kingdom to support you all day long. And you can reach for any plant to get there. It could be peppermint to cool you down. It could be tulsi to balance you. It could be ashwagandha to settle you. I mean, there's so many tools we can reach for. It can be green tea to energize you. So we have such opportunity to constantly calibrate and reach for the tool we need. And we underestimate the power of that.
You should trademark tea time is me time.
You should. I am pretty obsessed with it.
No, it's brilliant though. It feels so nourishing.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to dive in with all things inflammation. Sure. I'm so excited for the release of your book, The Inflammation Code, which, you know, inflammation in our world has become such a buzzword, and it's a trending topic for most of my clients when I sit down with them. I'm so inflamed. Well, what does that mean to you? How do you describe inflammation to your body? So hearing this everywhere, I think that there's few people who really understand what's happening inside of their bodies. And we know from an Ayurvedic lens that chronic inflammation, consistent chronic inflammation, is the instigation of all dis-ease within the body.
Correct.
So can you break it down? Maybe let's help our listeners understand what inflammation is and why it's at the root of so many chronic diseases that are on the rise today.
For sure. So, you know, oftentimes we have acute inflammation. And acute inflammation is, you know, I ran into something, I hit my elbow, I hit my knee. Now my body is creating swelling, redness, heat. It's sending an immune response to deal with that. We know that. We see acute inflammation all the time. The problem is so many of us are in a state of dysregulation, dysbiosis. Maybe our gut health is off. Maybe there's leaky gut. Maybe there's a lot of environmental toxins on board in the system. In Ayurveda, we have a lot of terms for this. We talk about Agni, which is our digestive fire. We talk about Ojas, which is the byproduct and result of such healthy digestion. But most of the time, we have dysregulated digestive fire. We're not creating enough Ojas and vitality in the system. And that toxin burden is taking a toll, plus stress. Mm-hmm. And so you bring this perfect storm together, and that same acute inflammation can stay on board and turn into what we call chronic low-grade persistent inflammation. Mm-hmm. It's this silent forest fire in our system wreaking havoc. The fire alarms are going off. We're just not hearing them. And so in ancient Ayurveda, we talked a lot about what it takes to build a healthy, balanced body. But in modern day times, we're seeing such a high volume of inflammation, brain fog. People are complaining about gut health. They're complaining about joint pain. They're saying, I just don't feel the same. I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm aging. Everything's going in the wrong direction. And I always say, look, that's inflammaging. Mm-hmm. And that's, I know that it's normal, but that doesn't mean that it's okay. Just because we're normalizing something doesn't mean that it's okay. Mm-hmm. So my main key message to people is understand what are all those root causes of inflammation. Let's start reducing those as much as we can. And then let's put all the good stuff in our system that we need to fight that inflammation.
When I experienced Ayurveda, and this is something that I want everyone listening to understand, I pray that you have the opportunity or look for the opportunity to experience working with an Ayurvedic practitioner. When my health was at its worst and I went back to the ashram and really started to dive in working with an Ayurvedic doctor one-on-one, it was the first time that I ever felt seen.
Yeah.
I grew up with Ayurveda. I understood the practices. Because I grew up with it and, you know, being forced into a lot of it, I didn't understand the wisdom behind it until I actually needed it. And the intention for this podcast and understanding the gifts that come with Western medicine, they're wonderful, but they deal with symptomatic care, right?
Yep.
Or acute care, which we all need. But when we address Ayurveda and how they understand inflammation in the body, this was like the instigator of root cause healing,
right?
Of root cause medicine. And can you describe to us that, you know, I'm sure a lot of the work that you do with your patients is you're an investigator.
Yeah.
You're searching, you're asking a lot of questions, but you're not just looking at data. You're not looking at just blood labs or just a stool test or something like that. You're not just looking at acute biomarkers.
No.
You're instead asking about their constitution.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about these constitutions and why they are so relevant to look at in our modern world?
Absolutely. You know, Ayurveda, like you said, really saw the person. Mm-hmm. So when I do an Ayurvedic consultation with someone, I love all the data that they can show me. I'm really data-driven now.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point of that consultation is to really calibrate to who they are. What is their schedule? What is their lifestyle? What are their life circumstances? Where can I see the imbalances in them? Because usually you can look at someone and start to notice what is their constitution and where is that constitution imbalance in their lives. So it's really a game of listening to them and understanding what is happening here. And then finally, where's my leverage point with them where I'm going to be able to convince them to make a change? Because in Ayurveda, we're going to ask for a pretty sizable lifestyle shift, mm-hmm. and not everyone's always ready for it. And so what I love about Ayurveda is that we had this language around the five elements. We have this language around the doshas. And after a decade of seeing clients one-on-one, working with them and showing them how to use Ayurveda in their lives, I created something called Elemental Design. Because I've realized we need some language that is so approachable and usable by everyone. And so in my book, I share Elemental Design is your constitution. And it's how you take that constitution and apply it into every aspect of your life, what I call the six pillars. And so your first constitution we call Vata in Ayurveda. And a Vata person is that thin and wiry person, taller or shorter than most of their demographic. This is someone whose personality is driven by air and ether, their constitution is. And so this is someone whose personality is 100 miles a minute. It's a busybody. It's someone who's always on the move and always in motion. So it's like a beautiful breeze when they're imbalanced, but they're like a tornado when they are imbalanced. So imbalanced versus imbalanced. And so it's interesting, Vata people have a tendency towards insomnia, dryness, constipation, different classical issues. And the minute you know someone's Vata, you know how to help them. There's a certain set of homework to balance them. And they're always like, whoa, how did you do that? I'm like, this is 5,000-year-old wisdom. I just get the honor of teaching it. I have the honor that it found me and I was able to learn it and share it with the world like you do. And then the second constitution we call Pitta, which is fire and water. And so a Pitta person is very much reddish skin, reddish hair, tends towards early graying, more a medium-bodied person. Their personality is fire. So it's passionate, sharp, driven, ambitious. This is someone who wants to do a million things. And when they are imbalanced in that fiery energy, they're like a volcano erupting. So this is someone who burns out, explodes. Everyone around them is collateral damage. And you know you're dealing with a Pitta if they get really hangry because they've got a lot of inflammation and fire on board. And so Pitta people love eating hot food, spicy food, oily food, fried food. And our homework to them is everything to cool their jets.
Yeah.
And then the final constitution is that Kapha energy. And Kapha is earth with water. So this is someone who's more sturdy, stronger, bigger bones, very earth with water energy. So in a man, it's a very mountain, strong, grounded energy. Mm-hmm. In a woman, it's that grandma, loving, serving energy who just feeds and loves everybody. Yeah. And so the personality is that loyal person, deep friendship, cares and serves everyone around them. Physically, they can tend towards a sluggish metabolism, tend towards congestion because of that water element in them. And so we really support Kapha with moving their energy. Kapha can also have phenomenal slumber and sleep. So it's about helping them move that energy first thing in the morning so they're more balanced. And so I love sitting down with people and saying, look, this was your constitution at birth. This is where you're at now. This is where we're seeing kind of the imbalances. Let me show you how to get back to home base so you can feel like yourself.
One of the questions that I get the most from my community is, which one am I?
Right.
Can you break down the concept of tridoshic and how we move through different imbalances throughout different stages of our life through our constitution?
Sure. Absolutely. So we're all born with our primary constitutions. You can have a primary and then a secondary. Some people are tridoshic. They are balanced in all three. It's much more rare to have that. And it's almost harder to work with because they have all three on board. So you're going to manage them in different ways. In my new elemental design quiz that I built for the book, I really did split it into what are we physically, mentally, from a reactive standpoint and an emotional standpoint. Because we are so multi-layered and multi-dimensional. So to just say that I am a Pitta is not quite correct. Yeah, I am a Pitta. I am ambitious and driven. I want to change the whole world. But I'm also a little Kapha in my nature. I'm a mother. I do serve a lot with food and love. Like, that's part of who I am. I do have a tendency towards a Vata mind because we live in modern day times in the West where we're all going a little too fast for our minds to keep up sometimes. But that understanding of the nuance, I think, is really important. And then when you take the constitutions and understand phases of life, that's a whole different ballgame where you understand how much we're going to evolve and shift. Right now, we're talking a lot about menopause out there in the health and wellness space. Mm. Menopause is a vata time of life. Mm-hmm. So we are talking about dryness and insomnia and all those things. And it's like, yeah, that's a vata time of life. We're all going to hit vata time of life. Let's all shift to bring vata balancing practices in. And then let's talk about how much menopause is going to affect us. Mm-hmm. And so it's just about understanding the constitutions can align so beautifully to circadian rhythm, a circadian lifestyle, times of life. And so it's not as simple as like, you are just a vata, and so you should just eat this way. I wish it was that simple. We want those very clean, simple, one pill solves the problem answers in the West and in modern day times. And Ayurveda said, actually, there's a nuance because you are unique. You have your own blueprint. And you will shift and evolve and grow. And our job is to shift and evolve and grow with you and keep you balanced through your lifetime.
This is the exact beauty that you conveyed so beautifully. We get caught or hung up on this word balance.
Yeah.
And I think in today's modern world, it can often feel completely impractical or we're unable to become balanced. But here's this wisdom that has practices not only from food or movement or herbs or teas or nature or sound even, right? That help us come into balance. And that's really what I want people to take away. Because there's certain things when you can fall in love with the fact that your constitution is always changing.
Yeah.
And that you are that beautiful and unique, right? If you can just fall in love with that part of yourself, then you become curious and you can seek out the things that help you feel more grounded or more nourished or more soothed, right? True. And that's true healing. That's magic, right?
It's true.
All right, so we're going to talk about how understanding this, noticing when you become a little bit more inflamed. This was a big driver for you into the studies that you've done and how you moved into what you call the golden healer, which is turmeric.
Yeah.
Which in the Western world is having its rise still, which is beautiful. The studies out there are incredibly promising in terms of how it reduces CRP levels, overall inflammation levels. The studies that we have on neurological levels also are just incredible. Tell us a little bit about the science behind it. And what inspired you to go deep on such a specific, let's call it miracle that comes from the earth?
It's so true. I was doing my master's in Ayurvedic sciences. I knew I wanted to write books on Ayurveda and I just wanted everyone to understand it because if we just understood it, we didn't have to have health issues the way I did. Mm-hmm. That's how I thought of Ayurveda. So I was in my master's program. It was around the time I was getting pregnant to have my kids. So I was really thinking about Ayurveda from the pregnancy lens of, wow, we have this opportunity to build such a healthy vessel for such a healthy child. So my master's thesis at the time was on Ayurvedic pregnancy, and I wrote a whole book on it. And then I was sitting in herbology class around that time, and the teacher was rattling off, cilantro does this, cumin does that, fennel does this, tulsi does that, ashwagandha does this, and turmeric. And my ears perked up, and I said, turmeric is a studied anti-inflammatory. Do you know my whole family is diabetic? Every time I went to India growing up, all I would see was someone pass away from the after end stage effects of diabetes. It was Parkinson's, leg amputation, quadruple bypass, heart attack.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, so the whole model is we work really hard our whole lives and our last quarter is disease management to devastation for our family. This whole system makes no sense to me. So when I studied Ayurveda and learned about turmeric, I thought, if we could just use turmeric, why aren't we all winning at our health? This is so nonsensical. Mm-hmm. And around that time, once I had my first child, I had plantar fasciitis. And I went to the doctor and I said, I have pain. And they said, take Advil every day for 10 days. And I said, okay. Hadn't studied Ayurveda enough to consider my alternatives. Did it. And I had such bad stomach pain for a couple weeks after. And I went back to the doctor and I said, you fixed my foot problem. Now I have stomach problems. I'm obsessed with gut health. How could you mess up my gut? Mm. He goes, oh, that's just a side effect. It's just not a big deal. You'll be fine. And I thought, this is what I will solve for. We are not doing this again. I have to go find my own way. And I thought, if turmeric is that powerful, I'm going to go study it and find a way to make it useful for all of us and people like me. So I ended up doing a PhD dissertation on turmeric the spice, which of course turned me into an evangelist of it. I'm a super fan of it. And then I afterwards created a whole company around it to go back and convince doctors, you don't have to do that to people like me again. But what people don't know about turmeric is out of the entire turmeric plant, only 3 to 5% of it is the curcuminoids. Mm-hmm. And those curcuminoids are the most effective at helping us reduce inflammation. And so when we are taking kitchen culinary turmeric and sprinkling it on our chicken and dishes, it's not enough to give us that significant reduction. Even fresh turmeric, which has good benefits, isn't usually enough to give you that really high dose of curcuminoids and curcumin that you want. And so as I was in the research, as I was doing the studies and building this paper, I realized, wow, we are so confused about turmeric. We're buying supplements off Amazon and everywhere, yeah. Low quality stuff that has no standards, no standardized extracts even. Mm-hmm. So you can buy curcumin standardized to 95%. That's the minimum we should all follow, is standardized to 95%. And then you should find companies who are obsessed with potency, quality, and testing. So there's third-party testing you can do, especially here in the US, pre, mid, and post-production. You can get curcumin at that higher standard so it delivers a result, and you can get it to mimic Mother Nature in the proportions, which makes it even better. So there's a lot of potential there. And what most people don't know is black pepper increases the absorption 2,000%, and a healthy fat also helps it cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. So when I formulate, I love the black pepper solution, and I say eat it with your meal to Beautiful. Gain that healthy fat piece.
So let's just call something out as it is. And earlier this week, I talked to a Western doctor who said that they were working with someone that week who showed up with liver damage, and that person was taking a liver supplement. And so sure enough, this doctor threw their hands up in the air, don't take that turmeric supplement, this is where it comes from. I want to point this out just for our listeners, because there's two really important things to address. One, most pharmaceuticals actually come from ingredients from nature. Then they get processed into an industry that profits, making a lot of money through prescriptions. The second aspect of that is when something sounds too good to be true, and it could be a very viable, affordable form to take away pain and suffering from a large part of the demographic, the hands go up in the air, right? They want to find studies that show that there's a rare risk for a liver injury from this one ingredient. Meanwhile, that person could be on other supplements. You and I were talking about the fact that they could be on aspirin every single day, which could lead to liver damage over time, right? Their lifestyle factors, how they're living, environmental toxins, stress, you name it. So I just wanted to call that out. I know that more is going to come to light, but in case you listen to this episode and you all of a sudden start getting research on turmeric, now you understand from Dr. Shivani what to look for. Because another part of the wisdom of Ayurveda, when you work with an Ayurvedic practitioner, you and I were talking about, you know, I just think about these old aunties in India who hold Ayurvedic wisdom through generations.
True.
They're never just giving you curcumin on its own.
Yeah, never.
They're working synergistically with other oils and fats and supplements and teas and herbs and prescribing them based on your constitution.
Correct.
So I just wanted to have her on that for a second, because I do have a lot of listeners who just might throw their back in.
Sure. And so, I got hundreds of videos, messages. Everyone's like, you're the turmeric expert. What is this? What's the answer? Yeah. And I really hesitated to respond, because there's no 100% clear answer. Yes, have I been in the research longer than most? Absolutely. Have I read more science on it? Yes. And the time I spent in that science showed how safe and effective it was. And so recently I did read the articles on that. And they said, yes, we had a group of six patients. Those six patients, we believe it was the turmeric. But when I have seen this happen, because I've seen this happen around me, where someone went in for a liver issue, and the doctor said, oh, you know, just stop the turmeric supplement. That must be it. And the wife said, well, by the way, this person's taking Advil Tylenol every day at high doses, like six a day, because they're in pain all the time. Mm-hmm. They have headaches. And then the question is, what's causing those headaches? What else are you taking pharmaceutical-wise? And so my answer to people is, look, should we one day have genetic tests that show us everything we should and shouldn't take? Absolutely. I can't wait for those days to come. Should all of us 100% be able to take every supplement on earth? No. I see people all the time who are allergic to black pepper, who tell me, I can't take your formula because I can't take black pepper. So we all at some point have different food intolerances and things going on. But to throw turmeric under the bus is, to me, the most asinine thing I've been watching. And I really think it's because people aren't willing to take a minute and go deeper in their questioning of, what all are you taking? What is the full picture? And let's go test if that high dose solution you're taking for pain is actually the culprit here, instead of the natural, clean, good solution, you know?
Oh, I was deep diving this morning. There are so few studies with low adverse effects from it. So just know where your knowledge comes from, where the information comes from as well. Something I wonder, do you hear a lot from your patients when they start some sort of an herbal formula? They don't feel a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's so frustrating because they're like, they want to feel the difference immediately.
Exactly.
They're like, it's pain. So I need it now. And I'm like, you know, yes, I hear you. But we need to be patient. These are herbal formulations. They take a little time to build and accumulate into the system and do the job. Luckily, I build for a lot of potency. So we do hit the mark within usually 7 to 10 days. And then people will call me and say, I stopped taking it. And because I'm traveling and I stopped taking it, now I feel everything.
Right.
I didn't realize what it was doing for me. So sometimes the reverse has to happen for them to understand.
For them to actually tune into it. Yeah, it's really powerful.
Yeah.
And we always go back to nature, right? Like, look at the time that it takes for nature to shift and evolve. True. And I think that when you come back to the wisdom of your body and just stop for a second to consider everything that it does for you every single day, give it time, but take into consideration how it works in synergy with your life and everything else that you're doing.
True.
So can we break it down just a little bit more for people so that they understand when we think about things like pain, chronic fatigue, or inflammation, when is the time that they should look for a supplement like yours and say, you know what, I'm going to give turmeric a go?
You know, I think the moment we're not feeling good, we should start looking around at what is happening and why. So I'm having a year right now called Shivani's Mold Journey of 2025, and it'll go down in the books as a big one. But last summer, I started feeling the symptoms. I was like, oh, that's brain fog. Is that perimenopause? Oh, I'm a little more tired. So as your body starts giving you more and more signals, don't wait till symptom 10 to say, oh, I need to do something here. Early on, start to calibrate to what's changed. Am I increasing my inflammatory foods? Is it my diet that shifted? Is it my stress levels that shifted? Is there something in my environment that changed? Is it lifestyle and I've dropped my self-care rituals? Like, what is happening here? But I would say from the moment you are symptomatic with any inflammatory symptom, that's a good moment to start bringing turmeric on board because it is nature's gift to us. It's Mother Earth's gift to us that it works so well and so multidimensionally. So the moment I am going to get on a plane, I take turmeric. The moment I hear a child in my house cough, I start turmeric. I don't want to catch anything. And turmeric's a powerful antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal. It is a very powerful anti-inflammatory antioxidant. It reverses oxidation in the system. What I love about it is it's this ultimate janitor. So it gets in there and it cleans out our zombie cells. It goes in the gut, it'll kill off the bad, but leave the good. So it has that intelligence to it. It's powerful for longevity. So to me, it's definitely that first thing I reach for. And then I keep going down my Ayurvedic list.
And so when you do that, do you recommend cycling in and then cycling off?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that's true with all our supplements. Yeah. You know, we have a big habit nowadays of saying, this is what I do. And then we do that religiously every day forever. We do it to our diets, which is so anti-Ayurveda. We want that cyclical nature.
Yeah.
We are seasonal beings. That's what circadian rhythm is. And so we should also do that with our supplements. There's no law of daily use.
That's so important to say, because I think a lot of people hear, they hear something on the media, typically it comes from fear-mongering, and they take it for the rest of their lives. But not only Ayurveda, there's so many practices that recommend cycling things in and out, because you don't want your body to also become accustomed to always receiving it.
Right.
You want your body to stay resilient and learn to work through those moments of inflammation and stress into coming back to restoration, right?
True.
What else fascinates you about turmeric? When you did your master's?
You know, turmeric to me is such a powerful immune support. And I grew up going to India every year, visiting my family, and I would get so disastrously sick. And I'd end up bedridden. They weren't sure if they should hospitalize me. And there my grandma was, and she would always have all these special concoctions that she had created. She'd treat me with the spices, and then I'd go to the Western doctor. He'd give me really strong antibiotics. And I always thought, who's right? Which way works better? And when I finally learned about turmeric, I thought, okay, this was that one thing I could have used my whole life. The fact that it's such a powerful immune support, The fact that it affects the master switches of inflammation, like NF-kappa, B, and TNF-alpha, and thus is affecting all those other inflammatory pathways, makes it so powerful because the world is inflaming us from all directions. So it's almost like you need that multi-point support of protection for yourself. That's how I look at turmeric. And then the fact that it's so sympathetic, that it'll go in the system and remove the bad and leave all the good, that intelligence to me is so fascinating. And I think over the upcoming decades, and I hope I get to be part of all the published science, but we're going to see how it extends telomeres. We're going to see its effect on sirtuins, AMPK pathways. There's all this science. There's a lot of scientific words, but basically it affects longevity in a very positive way. That to me is exciting.
Have you seen studies on longevity? Like, you know, a lot of people are talking about stem cells or expensive therapeutic protocols that they need to go on. Yeah. Instead of looking at their spice cabinet. And when we think about this intelligence of the body to be able to heal itself, and then this ancient wisdom on the other side that offers us ingredients in order to do that itself.
Right.
Do you think that this is going to be part of our future? Because along with the hormonal changes that are kind of trend-worthy right now, it's aging. I feel like we're aging, but we're not aging well. A lot of us want to pump the brakes when it comes to aging.
True.
When we think about that through, you mentioned senescent cells or zombie cells.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just kind of in awe.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much in terms of tools out there, right? The biohacking world is offering so much technology around anti-aging. We do have so much about exosomes and stem cells. Yeah. And it's fun to play in those sandboxes because there's so much greatness there. But I do look at my spice cabinet as that original place that had all the wisdom I ever needed. It is the power to put it into my food. It is the power to put it into supplement form, tea form, and give me all those benefits for the longevity that I want to have. It's almost like it's the inexpensive, easy solution. So we completely ignore it.
Exactly.
And we want to reach for those bigger solutions. And I am a culprit of it too. I love going to functional medicine, being told all those supplements will do everything. But that's what Ayurveda says. Walk in nature, live according to your circadian rhythm, honor the gut, detox, build your own vitality. And the super spices are your support tools all along that journey. And it can be that simple. And that's what I love about Ayurveda is it doesn't have to be expensive. It's not unattainable by all. It's actually the most attainable of all the wisdom.
I couldn't agree more. So something I say to my clients all the time, self-care starts in the kitchen.
Yes.
You'll find your greatest medicine in your spice cabinet. So tell us about some of these beautiful spices on the front of your book.
Sure.
For some common things that we want all of our listeners to have in their spice cabinet as kind of like their toolbox for healing.
You know, one of my favorites after turmeric is ginger. Ginger is an easy one. We could all chop up some ginger, put it in a beautiful cup every morning, pour some hot water on it, and have ginger tea, ginger lemon tea. We call that an igniter. So it ignites the digestive fire first thing in the morning, gets us churning and burning and ready to consume everything we're going to consume for the day. So I love ginger. I think it's a beautiful tool to use throughout the day as well. It has so many applications, according to Ayurveda. And then modern science has proven how powerful it is for gut lining and gut support as well. Mm-hmm. Another easy one is fennel. Fennel seeds is an easy remedy out of Ayurveda. We say you have heartburn, you have acid reflux, you don't feel good after a meal, just chew some fennel seeds. You can even carry a bag of fennel tea with you ready to go. So I usually am carrying, I will never leave my house without peppermint tea or something ready to soothe me down in case in a restaurant I eat something that's off or my body's intolerant to. And I need that solution. I always keep the solutions on hand with me. So I'm not going to carry Tums or like antacids and things like that. The plant kingdom has those solutions for us. Another favorite of mine is cumin. In Ayurveda, we will never cook beans or lentils or anything like that without starting with cumin seeds first. Mm-hmm. So when people go vegan and they're like, I cooked chili, I'm like, that is so great. Let me show you a better way to process and digest that for yourself so you're not in pain afterwards. So cumin is another big favorite of mine. And then my grandmother created a recipe years ago that I've used with hundreds of people now. I'm yet to put it in a pill and test it if it could be in a pill. You know, Ayurveda, we're almost better if we just give you the two spices. So I've driven these two spices to people hundreds of times. It's hing and kala namak.
Interesting.
So simple. And you could add ajwain, which is another spice we use, but most people don't like ajwain as a taste. And I don't love that taste. So I take hing, which is an uncommon spice, but we use it as the base of cooking underneath all lentils and all beans.
Yeah.
It's spelled H-I-N-G. And so you take a pinch of hing, and then kala namak is just our purple salt. It's a very sulfuric salt in our Indian cooking. Pinch of that. You make this tea, and I can't even tell you, heartburn, if you overate, if you are constipated, if your stomach's upset, doesn't matter what it is. My grandmother came up with that recipe, and Now when I see her, I'm like, Nani, you have no idea, post-pandemic especially, how many people are getting relief from this thing when nothing else helped them. And that, to me, is the most powerful piece of Ayurveda, is we have these remedies, and they're so simple. They're in our spice cabinet, but they can solve huge problems that nothing else is actually solving. People come to me and they're like, I had to do an endoscopy. I had to do a colonoscopy. I had to do all these things, Shivani. They still didn't find anything. I'm like, can I just solve that one for you? It's pretty simple. It's a $5 solution.
Gosh. Okay, I want to have tea with the wisdom of your nani first.
Yeah.
You mentioned, so hing, ajwain, A-J-W-A-I-N. And how do you spell the last one?
Kala namak. So K-A-L-A. And namak is N-A-M-A-K-H. So it's just the purple salt that we have in a lot of our Indian kitchens.
Yeah.
It's very sulfuric. So we typically use it in raita.
Yes. That's what's on top of raita.
Yes, the purple salt.
Yes.
But that same purple salt is so effective when mixed with hing for the gut. I even made it on this trip because I needed it, because I ate gluten. It threw me off. And I was like, hinka pani will solve everything.
Oh, it's so hard to find South Asian stores to find these ingredients, but it's so worthwhile.
It is. But the main brands are sold on Amazon now.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. What a great takeaway.
Yeah.
Easy. Fascinating. I love learning. Okay. So those are some really, really great staples. CCFT, I think, is something that's become a little bit trendworthy and buzzworthy this time of year, which is very special. Making them yourself.
Correct.
Like, they're so easy. They're so affordable and highly therapeutic for the reward that comes with it as well.
True.
Yeah.
True. And you can adjust the taste.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, CCFT, I don't love the taste, but if I add more fennel, I'm okay with it. So you can adjust it for your own taste, which is good.
I found myself on a few panels with people who are very anti-vegetarian diet.
Yeah. Especially right now.
Oh, my
carnivore movement.
Especially
keto
right
movement.
Now with the carnivore movement and... I share openly that when I went back to the ashram and I lived there for 2 months, I lost 45 pounds.
Wow.
A lot of that was lowering inflammation, getting rid of the inflammatory aspects. I took away the bad and came into my body again. I was eating more carbohydrates than ever before in my life.
Yeah.
One of the gifts at the ashram is that there's always a kitchen full of chefs preparing food, taking time to really understand the way that our ancestors knew how to prepare lentils and beans and cook them properly to ease digestion.
Correct.
Can you talk a little bit about the preparation of these foods, the power of these foods that come from nature to support us in healing, and where the Western world maybe got that all wrong?
You know, the carnivore conversation is so interesting to me because I am vegetarian. I was born and raised vegetarian. And I have met with so many doctors lately, and I'm like, something is still wrong with me. What do I do? And their answer is, you need to eat meat.
Yeah.
And I've thought long and hard about it, and I've even tested it. I've taken protein shakes and different things. I can't get myself to eat meat like that. That, to me, is just so against what I've done my whole life. But I can tolerate a broth here, a protein shake there. And it has not changed anything in my physiology. It hasn't changed anything around how I feel. And my core value has always been that I am vegetarian. Even myself, my company's vegetarian. I would never put an animal product in there because that goes against what I believe,
right?
Yeah. But it's such an interesting conversation around it. And I tell my clients, look, I want you satiated and I want you healthy. And achieving protein goals can be hard. So you should eat everything you want to eat. I'm not here to take anything from you. But when we talk about nutrition from Ayurveda, we heavily use the spices to create that bioavailability and absorption. So a lot of people say beans and lentils are high carb. That's not a protein source. Those are hard to absorb. You know, you might have histamine reactions and all these issues. You know, if you understand how to cook beans and lentils properly, you can get a tremendous benefit from them. They are nutritious. They have been protein rich. We know the combination of beans and rice makes it a complete protein. So why are we demonizing ancient, healthy, good foods in the name of it can only be keto or it can only be carnivore? That's just too much driving towards one side. And then we're going to swing back to moderate anyway. And Ayurveda was always all about moderation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When I was pregnant, there was no way. I grew up vegetarian also. And when I was pregnant, I could not eat any animal protein. But I remember the world being so heavily focused, especially the doctors at that time, is that you're not going to be healthy without eating animal protein.
Yeah.
And I want to share that this year, I've probably worked with more vegetarians and vegan this year for some reason than ever before. Yeah. But I'm so grateful for the awareness that's coming out about Ayurveda and how to be vegetarian and vegan properly in our modern day world. I've seen the greatest, healthiest, most balanced blood labs this year from those vegetarians and vegans.
Amazing.
Than ever before. Wow. All right. So let's just shout that out. No more fear around this.
Yeah.
Lee, you talked about Agni before. Mm. So digestive fire. When I was at the ashram, the first thing that they recognized was my digestion was completely off.
Sure.
I had a thick white coat on my tongue. I wasn't producing proper digestive enzymes within my system. I wasn't digesting my food properly. This is the first step for understanding your constitution, how to optimize your digestion so that you prevent illness.
Correct.
Can you talk to us about the power? What is Agni? How do we optimize it? What is the impact of stress in our modern day world on our digestion?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ayurveda was obsessed with gut health far before we had all this great science on gut microbiome, gut-brain axis. So it's actually really beautiful that modern science is proving what Ayurveda said all along. Circadian rhythm is being proven in the sciences, right? So it's like all of Ayurveda was correct. And now we just scientifically prove it. And we call it modern wellness and modern all these things, but they're ancient truths. So the gut digestive fire, Agni, I think of it as a campfire within us. And our job is every day to open that fire up and prepare it to receive the food we're going to eat, absorb that, pull all that nutrition out of it, and gift that to the body in the ways that the body needs it on that given day. Our body is constantly calibrating to what we need. If you're traveling, it might have a different set of needs. If you're in a stressful season, you might have a different set of needs. And so fueling according to that is also important. But everything we teach in Ayurveda is about how to build that fire. So wake up in the morning and really like scrape your tongue. What is that? Agni digestive fire waking up for the day. Oil pulling. We teach that oral health is tied to gut microbiome health. And so by doing so and clearing the mouth, we're encouraging that communication between our oral health and our gut health. Then starting with a ginger lemon tea or an aloe vera juice, our job is to have a great bowel movement first thing in the morning and calibrate to it. Understand if it's not happening, what are we going to do about that? Start drinking hot water. Get some habits in place to make sure that's a daily practice. Then as you're going through the day, really looking at your meal times. Are you nibbling and snacking all day and wasting that fire energy in all these small little ways when really it's meant to open up, digest breakfast, close, wake up, process lunch, close, and then same for dinner. Mm-hmm. And nowadays we have so much access to food and sugar and trash and junk and all the happy things. We think we can just keep eating and eating. But really honoring that fire is the key to our brain health, our hormone health, and everything else.
The snacking is a really big thing. A lot of people are busy.
Yeah.
We don't have the time to prepare foods.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a few of the tips that you have then for your patients on how do we live an Ayurvedic lifestyle if we're so busy?
You know, it is hard because even I myself am in the middle of sharing a book with the world on Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. And I keep reflecting on working this much, working double, triple your schedule is so un-Ayurvedic because you're cutting all the free spaces. Mm-hmm. And so really it's a powerful practice of, okay, if you're teaching everyone self-care in slices, you better fit in your slices, right? You can't not do it and share a book on it. That's completely out of alignment. And so I've had to really triple down on Ayurveda in a faster way. And where are those non-negotiables? So a lot of those are in the morning. To me, I have to wake up. I have to tongue scrape. I have to make sure, you know, if I'm not going to the bathroom because I ate something wrong or I ate out or traveling or life is stressful, whatever is causing the imbalance, aloe vera juice is my favorite remedy.
Same.
Next one, ginger lemon tea. Mm-hmm. Like those are my two top ones. So to me, it's about digestive fire is a non-negotiable, must honor, must eat well. And if I find myself nibbling and snacking, it's usually because I'm stressed.
Yes.
And we know that stress in Ayurveda will lead you, if you're stressed and anxious, you're going to reach for something sweet to cool it down. So whether you reach for rice, whether you reach for sugary foods, sugary beverages, you're just reaching for cooling. And so that cooling effect can be reached for and achieved in another way. Mm-hmm. Coconut water, water with electrolytes. You can use so many different tools. You can have potatoes or rice. You can add more carbs to your meal to get that effect. Sometimes I find we're being so extreme in our diets, we're not leaving in the healthy fats and the ghee and the butter and the things that'll keep the system satisfied. And That's the problem. We're not feeling whole and nourished. We're feeling starved and exhausted. Mm-hmm. And so Ayurveda brings back the six tastes, balanced meals, eating for your constitution, eating for your circadian rhythm. And honestly, once you build the rhythm mm-hmm. and you keep the rhythm, it's kind of easy. You don't have to think about it so much. I have a rhythm. If I break that rhythm, I know immediately I can't do that again because yes. my body can't take yeah. it if I'm going to push every meal till 2, push dinner late. The imbalance caused by that is so significant. Your immediate knowledge to self is don't do that anymore. You have to come back to your balanced state.
The wisdom that even comes in listening to your body and understanding how food makes you feel, right?
Yeah, true.
Can we break that down and simplify it even more for listeners? And I know that this is actually, I learned it from Ayurveda. When you can't obsess over the foods or the recipes or what to cook and having all this variety, how can someone build their plate according to Ayurveda?
Great question. I mean, in Ayurveda, we're pretty simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. We really overcomplicate things. I do look at it as, you know, am I giving myself a healthy and good carb? Am I giving myself a beautiful, healthy vegetable that has good fiber? Am I eating a beautiful protein that I'm going to absorb properly? Have I put any spices on here that give me some benefits? That's not always easy. Mm-hmm. If I'm eating on the go, they're not going to use spices in it. So that might be achieved in a separate meal. Is there healthy fat here to keep this absorbed and satiated in my system? Sometimes that's even hard to achieve when we're on the go. And then I usually will do little things to balance any meal. And that can start with tea before the meal, maybe just a bit of a half a cup because I want to ignite that digestive fire. And I always pause, take a breath, and really just tune into self before I start eating. Because oftentimes we're going to eat what we're going to eat. I'm going to be traveling today. I'm going to find whatever I find in the airport. But as long as I'm consciously aware, I take that breath, I drop into my parasympathetic nervous system, that food will be absorbed and nourishing to my body because I took that moment.
Exactly.
And so in Ayurveda, we're very forgiving. We're very moderate. We're like, bless the food and the food will benefit you.
Absolutely.
No matter what it is, which I think is really nice. Mm-hmm. It's not about perfection. It's not about that over anxious stress we have nowadays a lot of times around food. It's much more about, you know, what is it I'm choosing to eat? Can I bless this moment and gain what I can from this and then move on?
Are you a fan of your patients doing meal prep? This is something with Ayurveda that I know is there's no storing of food.
No.
There's not a lot of leftovers. But yeah. In our modern world, we're like, God, if I could just have that pre-made.
Yeah, it's a tough one. To me, food is such a priority. So food is made fresh in my house 4 days a week. And then I cook on that fifth day. So we only eat leftovers twice in the week. And that to me is enough. And when I teach people no leftovers, they really get upset. When I teach no meal prep, people get even more upset because I have a lot of people who say, I cook on Sunday. And that's it. I'm done.
That's it. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm like, you're eating 6-day-old food before you cook again? That is dead food. It lacks prana. You can't do that. So that is one of those rules in Ayurveda that does drive the modern day person a little bit crazy. And our ways around it is say, look, one day, fine. 2 days, less ideal. Third day, we're really pushing it, guys. Yeah. So if you can meal prep twice a week, amazing. If you can go for 3 days a week, even better. Just do the best you can. And if you can't do it, freezing it is an option too. We're better off freezing it and holding it in time at its freshness than eating 3-4-day-old food. So
that's what I prescribe to my clients. Batch cook, freeze, take out as needed.
Yeah.
And honestly, when you become in tune with food and the energy behind it, you feel a difference. By day three, it's just not enjoyable.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Would you say that now is a time for Ayurveda to have a rise because of the insults of our modern day world?
Absolutely. I think we need Ayurveda more than ever. We're living in this moment in time where the world is so toxic. The toxic burden is more significant than ever. I live in South Florida, apparently the epicenter of mold. So there's a lot of issues going on. Then the phthalates, microplastics, BPAs, all these things are really accumulating in the system. And so in my book, I talked about how inflammation, we're underestimating the bombardment to the system. And then our body says, I don't know what that is. I'm just going to react. And so that's why we're seeing that prevalence of autoimmune issues, neurological issues. We talk about toxins. Yes, they're going to cross the blood-brain barrier. We know mycotoxins do that. We know we're seeing microplastics and so much in the brain, in the uterus, all these places. So to me, we need a full court press like plan to fight the level of inflammation and inflammatory things in our lives. And Ayurveda is the best way to do that.
So we're out of sync with our world today. Yeah. That's our first disconnection from our bodies becoming optimized, from our minds feeling peace.
Yeah.
Then we've got this toxic load burden from our environment, which is like a double whammy. It's almost like this vessel was just not meant to live in a world that's going so quickly, right? Yeah. Which is, you know, probably one of the reasons, the greatest reasons that we feel so great when we slow down and reconnect with nature. And all the studies that exist today about reconnecting with forest bathing or being at an ocean or ionic energy when we're out in the mountains or by the water, right?
Right.
So mold, plastics, EMF radiation.
Correct.
When we go into those things, I think Ayurveda was probably one of the greatest originators for addressing detoxification.
Correct.
At a cellular level.
Yeah.
I often prescribe, if you can experience Panchakarma,
yes,
and going for a treatment like that.
Yeah.
Can you maybe, let's talk about Panchakarma, but also like simple daily practices that you recommend for detoxification to lower inflammation?
Sure. You know, Panchakarma is a profound oil change for the body.
Mm.
And every time I've done it, I felt incredible. I've gone and lived in India, done it for 3 weeks at a time. I sat at the feet of so many gurus in their Ayurvedic centers, just trying to understand, what is this science? How is it so effective? Why are all these people here who moved into these ashrams to live here and learn? And I think it's because they had such profound healing experiences.
Yeah.
They couldn't imagine leaving those places. They just wanted to serve and do more of that and then stay in a healed state. So to me, Ayurveda has the best detoxification pathway system. And I'm sure a lot of the other ancient wisdoms do too.
Yeah.
I love traditional Chinese medicine. I love naturopathic, homeopathic, chiropractic, Reiki. I think every one of the complementary and integrative systems has such wisdom. My favorite is Ayurveda because I studied it the most. But in Ayurveda, we say you can really detox every cell of the body. You can do so much. So I did it in preparation for pregnancy. Mm. I thought, you know, before I bring a child into this world, let me truly clear the vessel. And so Panchakarma is wonderful. It's sometimes hard for people because it's pretty rough. It's pretty intense. It's pretty invasive. It's also very effective.
Yes.
So I do think it's one of those best ways. If we don't have the ability to go move to India and or go to an Ayurvedic center in the US, we have a lot of them here too, and do that for a week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. I teach it as, let's take a week every intersection of seasons and give ourselves that week and just slow down life a touch. Doesn't have to be extreme, but take that week between summer and fall, fall and winter, winter and spring, during those intersections with the circadian clock. And you can choose your level of detox. So I always do level one is really bring in the self-care. Because many times people come into my group programs or as clients and they're so depleted, so exhausted that you can't detox them. You would really have to build up and nourish the system before you would ever try to detox the system. And here in the West, a lot of times we're like, yeah, we'll just green juice detox. Yeah, we'll just juice detox. We'll just strip. We're always willing to strip everything out of our body. But when are we actually willing to refill the cup so fully? So that's actually my level one detox, is refilling the cup. Level two is, okay, I want you to refill the cup, but yeah, we could cut out one or two bad things.
Yeah.
Sugar, alcohol, maybe it's gluten. Usually I take away gluten and all of a sudden 90% of symptoms will clear.
Absolutely.
They're like, oh, yes, I don't have brain fog. I'm not tired every afternoon. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was a problem. And you can't convince it's a problem. I find it's hard to convince someone it's a problem, but once they give it up, they see the truth.
Exactly.
So
they feel it.
Yeah, they feel such a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then my level three, I call the whole enchilada. Like, let's talk about those inflammatory foods in your life. Let's really talk about pulling them out. Because a lot of people who come to me, usually when you find Ayurveda, you're already at your last door.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about mega autoimmune stack up. You're saying these are people who've gone to every doctor. They don't have a solution yet. They've gone to functional medicine. They're still frustrated. So they get a lot of answers, but they don't get to hold those results and they don't feel good. And so that's where I say, okay, let's really bring in Ayurvedic self-care. Let's bring in Ayurvedic detox practices. A lot of them we can do here in the US. We can get colonics here. We can get enemas here. We can get medical massage, Ayurvedic massage here, so that we can bring in, you can kind of piece together some of those services for them and then bring in an Ayurvedic diet, maybe a Khichdi detox, and support them that way.
Don't you feel like the people that you've worked with who've gone through Western detoxification to that point of stripping the system, mold especially, right?
Yeah.
People will go on mold protocol, followed by mold protocol, followed by mold protocol, and you're stripping away.
Yeah.
And often people feel so much worse, right?
Correct.
Or we find out these like parasite cleanses or harsh, intense detoxification systems for the body.
Yeah.
And yet they're stripping. People come out on the other end feeling so much worse.
True.
Detoxing with Ayurveda actually feels like nourishment.
Yeah.
Soulful nourishment.
Yeah.
The next time you come back, I'm going to send you to see Martha at the Surya Spa.
Okay.
And she does Panchakarma there and full body, beautiful oil body massages and everything. But they feel therapeutic. And the other aspect of that is working with a practitioner like yourself who takes so much care. When you work with a healing practitioner, you should feel cared for.
True.
And in the Western world, we often go and we outsource a lot of our awareness and knowledge and everything to somebody else. But in Ayurveda, it's literally someone becoming your partner in healing.
It is true.
With the people that you work with, you know, you take them on a journey. It's not a one and done sending them off with a protocol. Can you tell me about that interconnectedness with the spiritual aspect of the work that you do?
You know, I don't talk about it as much. And someone recently asked me, they said, is Ayurveda spiritual? And I said, wow, I am doing a horrible job of explaining that that's actually the goal. The whole goal of Ayurveda is your spiritual connection and your spiritual evolution and your attainment of these much higher levels of vibration that you can achieve. And so those of us who practice Ayurveda know it because we feel it, we experience it, and it's incredible. But it's hard to put words to it because it's just becomes the gift, that nectar that we receive from Ayurveda.
Yeah.
And so it is a beautiful thing to lead people on the journey because you can watch that being achieved for them. Mm-hmm. But truly the goal of Ayurveda is body, mind, and spirit in alignment. And everyone has their own religion, their own belief systems. But I think we can all agree, almost all of us, that there is a universal energy and our connection to it does impact our life on so many levels in so many ways. And so the more I practice Ayurveda, the more I understand that that gift that Ayurveda gives us is the best gift. It's that thing that is priceless, is that level of achievement. So not even achievement, attainment. I consider it an attainment and an alignment. So yes, I mean, I don't even know how to put words to it.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I love that you answered it that way. I would say the people that I've worked with the longest, their healing journey eventually turns into a spiritual journey.
Yeah.
And it's this ultimate feeling of coming back to self. And I say that feeling of coming back to self is exactly what I felt when I went to the ashram. And as much as I want everyone to experience an ashram, I say this all the time, you can experience your ashram at home, in your rituals, in your bedroom, at an altar that you create for yourself.
True.
For you, it just happens to be embedded into your DNA. And much like me, it's something that once you feel it, there's nothing greater than to be on a healing journey and recognize when your vessel does need healing and how you can honor it.
True.
But in our Western world, I don't know, it's so easy to drift. I also get caught in the dangling carrots and the science and the trends and the fads. And I'm like, oh, you did it again.
Yeah.
Come back.
You know, this year has been so humbling because it's been the year of the mold journey. And as I've been going through it, it's been easy to try to hand my power over because it's not a topic I knew well. So I called Dr. One. What do you think? What should I do? Dr. Two, Dr. Three. I have a lot of access to great doctors because I created a supplement line that's carried by doctors. So I'll start calling down the list. And then every time I got an answer, I thought, you know, Shivani, you know best. How are you going to just do a protocol? You know you can't strip your body out this year. You have too much happening. So I really tuned into this home is my sanctuary. Mm-hmm. I energetically have power over this home. I can tune in and clear this home. This home is a sanctuary for my children. How am I going to do this with so much love that we heal? And then how are we going to nourish the cells to kick out the mold themselves? And yes, we have a lot of science. And there's a lot of protocols out there. But I finally found a practitioner who was like, Shivani, you are the practitioner. You know it. I'm going to add some tools to your toolkit. We can play with peptides and some cool stuff to support cellular health.
Yeah.
But you know the wisdom best. Mm. And I'm just here to support you on the path. And so that finally landed of, that's my job as the Ayurvedic practitioner. When I see someone, my job is to say, hey, you've got this. Your body knows best. My body doesn't know best for you. I'm here to support you and raise your awareness of how powerful your body and health are. And I'm here to support that journey with you. And that's it. I'm really not here to solve the problem. I'm here to help you see the problem within and the solution is within as well.
I think it's incredible when the teacher shows up when you need them.
Yeah.
I'm doing my master's in quantum healing for that exact reason.
Yeah.
What if you were to believe that your body could actually heal itself?
Yeah.
When you get sick, it's not of, oh, I've got to deal with this later. It's like, oh, but I know that my body is healing, right? Or God forbid you're going through something major. What if a practitioner were to remind you of that superpower?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it's the future. Are you excited about the future of Ayurveda?
I am. You know, Ayurveda is this ancient, potent, powerful wisdom that's willing to evolve with us. And I find that really beautiful. So when I discovered it for myself, for my own health in my 20s, I realized, you know, this wisdom is incredible. We just aren't doing a good job of marketing it and sharing it with the world because it is pretty dense. It is pretty complex. It is pretty heavy in its wisdom. And so my job for 20 years that I've taken on is simplify, simplify, simplify it. And so about a decade ago, I created my supplement line. And then I realized, wow, people really love taking a pill for a problem. And I handed it to them. And so that's when I realized, okay, well, I can solve your inflammation problem. But if I don't teach you the lifestyle, the IRV, the piece of the lifestyle, we're never going to win. You're going to take this product forever and you won't actually have solved for it. So to me, Ayurveda is the root cause medicine. It is the ancient wisdom we all need. And we're finally recognizing that as a society. So I think now Ayurveda gets to have its moment for the next 100 years where we bring it back and each of us starts to practice it in our own way.
Let's make that happen together. Who did you write your book for?
I wrote my book for a very specific woman, that woman who's out there, who's doing her best, who's doing so much for her health. She's exercising, eating well, hydrating. She also has a lot of responsibility. She's taking care of so many. She's a mom. And she typically is coming in pre-autoimmune or is being diagnosed with an autoimmune condition. So there's something brewing. The system is inflamed. Things are going in the wrong direction. And she's trying her best. And this piece called Ayurveda, that next key to the puzzle, is the puzzle piece that can help her start to step off that path of inflammation and back to home.
Beautiful. Yeah. At a time when so many people just intuitively know that they're drifting into that direction, yeah. or when perimenopause and menopause are seeming like a curse that we have to go through.
Yeah.
Did your ancestors ever, do you remember anyone talking about perimenopause or menopause?
Not at all.
I know, same, nothing at all. Yeah. And it's not to say that maybe they didn't have symptoms for sure, but I don't think that it is the degree that it happened to as it does today. But I also think too, there's something with the South Asian culture where women would live with sisters and aunties and these grandmothers and extended families where there was more connection as a woman to have a support system.
Right.
Where maybe they felt more held and felt more supported, that there was less suffering.
True.
And less inflammation.
True. And I think we lived a less toxic lifestyle.
Yes,
I think
course.
We, like you said, lived multi-generationally. So in my family, we have a multi-generation household. And that's been a game changer because there's so much less stress. If you have grandpa around to help you raise your kids and that wisdom is being transferred all around. So yes, I think it was a different time. And I think now we're so individualistic and separated and, like you said, lacking that support. So when my friends and I do gather for a happy hour to get together, everyone brings their problems in. I'm like, guys, just so you know, these are all the same problems. We should basically all be at yoga together.
Yeah.
We should all be doing our practices together. We should all be on a FaceTime every morning drinking our ginger tea. And we would not have half these issues.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. I can't wait to start taking inflammation relief. There's a very special ingredient in this. Can you just call it guruchi?
Yes. There's a lot of beautiful herbs in there because in ancient Ayurveda, anytime you formulated, you would formulate with primary herbs to do the main job, secondary herbs to go in there and support that main job. Third set of herbs is going to help them go where they need to go in the body. Fourth set of herbs is going to help mitigate even putting strong herbs in the system. And so it's interesting, you know, I formulated one that followed the science. Turmeric gold is like that. You know, modern science proves 500 milligrams of curcumin, black pepper extract does this job. And so it's good to follow that modern science. But the ancient wisdom said, let's put the synergy of herbs together. And they have their own symphony solution towards the problem. So guduchi is a beautiful plant that's immune supportive, that's synergistic with the boswellia, synergistic with that turmeric. Amla in there is a powerful antioxidant. So to me, I'm always looking for, if you are in pain, you have inflammation, what are the plants I can bring to you together to help you get that pain relief that you need?
Beautiful. We're going to link out to everything. We're going to link out to your incredible book.
Thank you.
I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
This is just, it's needed. You're a great educator on the topic. To be able to simplify
a
5,000-year-old plus science and wisdom is pretty incredible. How do you like to communicate with your audience?
I love when people reach out on Instagram. So my Instagram is at dr.shivanigupta. My main website, where everything is shivanigupta.com. My name, S-H-I-V-A-N-I. The book website is theinflammationcode.com. And then I have my own podcast. It's called the Fusionary Health Podcast.
Beautiful. I can't wait to join you.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to have you back. Thank you so much for today. We'll put all the link outs to everything below.
Beautiful.
In closing, tell me about one thing that you're most excited about in the future.
Oh my gosh. You know, I'm excited for people to learn Ayurveda and put it into their lives in the rhythm that Ayurveda intended. Ayurveda really wanted us to just build our own rhythm to our own tune in alignment with our elemental design. And it can be really simple. It can be a tea in the morning and a tea at night. It can be a walk in the morning and a walk at night. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be difficult. It can be joyful. And the end result is your vibration being so pure, so beautiful, and you getting to live out your dharma, your life purpose. So to me, Ayurveda is that ultimate gift.
I love it. That just sounds like an act of self-love.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Beautiful. Yeah. I can't wait to have you back.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.